This is former Ring of Honor World Champion Adam Cole, baby, and you're listening to Condo on the Moon Podcast.
Ooh, yeah, it's time, it's November, it's the Survivor Series, and my team of Macho Madness Maniacs will not be defeated. It will not happen. Because the Macho Man is always the sole survivor. Normally, I would tell Chris Walder to confirm that, but he's not here. Josh Lopez, you can tell me I'm the greatest there ever was, past, present, and future.
Well, I don't know if I could say you're the greatest ever, but I could confirm that you'd be the sole survivor.
Hold on a second. You cannot, like, diss Randy like that, Josh, especially filling in on the podcast. That's not going to work. Although Randy did almost kill my voice, so I apologize. I am James Borbath, normally joined by Chris Walder, but as Randy mentioned, Chris Walder out with the flu. We expect him back next week, so filling in, normally my co-host on Condo, Hanging on the Moon, is now on the Condo on the Moon podcast, Josh Lopez. Great week of wrestling, and actually a weekend of wrestling. I didn't hate everything this week, Josh. It was reasonably good.
Finally, we find something positive to look for wrestling, right?
Yeah, like we had a Raw that admittedly was very long. I think every fan would agree with that. But for the most part, I liked what we saw on the show this week.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think what has helped the whole, like, Team Cena and Team Authority angle is the fact that it's given a good flow to the show because it's making every other match support. I mean, they're looking at the Zack Ryder and Rusev match, and they had still the Stephanie and Hunter looking at the match, and the segment with Ziggler was great. They put some emphasis on him. They had a great IC title match with him and Seth Rollins. They did set up stuff with AJ and Nikki, even though it's very little, but I mean, better than nothing. But overall, I thought it was good. Yeah, it was a long show, especially when you have Michael Cole and JBL on commentary. It's going to be a long night. But
and the King, too. Let's not exempt him. The King is no prize either.
Yeah, I think you get my point. But it was a fun show, and I think it added interest into Survivor Series.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, the big surprise, Vince McMahon shows up. First time in probably like a year we've seen him on WWE TV. And, you know, the fact that he kind of threw that stipulation into this match now where the Authority has to come up with a win or they lose control of Raw throws everything in the air for Survivor Series. Obviously, it's going to be a free pay-per-view with all the stuff with the network and all of that. We got into heavy depth into that last week, so I don't really want to focus on that too much this week because, you know, we're trying not to be a business podcast, although when those numbers come out, it's hard not to be. But a good step forward, obviously, you know, you want to get people to watch and... An interesting step with what they did with the Rusev-Sheamus match with trying to get people to sign up to watch that match. Part of me says good idea, but part of me says bad idea, because after 3 hours of Raw, I don't know how anxious people are to see another match that lasts about 15 to 20 minutes. I just don't see people being gung-ho to do that after 3 hours of wrestling. That's me, but, I mean, it is a way to kind of try and capture that audience, like, in that final hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're going to do some other cool stuff as Survivor Series continues to build. I mean, next week they're having a ECW week, which is like a live thing with Paul Heyman and Joey Styles, so I think that's pretty cool. I don't think they're going to be putting matches on the network after every Raw, and maybe be a spare of a moment if there's going to be a title change or like a big turn or whatever, but I like it. I thought it was good marketing, I guess. I was kind of confused when they first announced it because I thought you know, you're trying to bring in ratings and you're trying to compete with Monday Night Football with the whole halftime thing. I think it would have been better if Rusev and Shane had that match during the halftime part of the show. But that's just me. I'm happy Rusev won. I'm glad they're taking their time with him. I know a lot of people still think that he's just going to go downhill to take on John Cena, and that's going to be that. But I think Rusev has been one of the best characters this year in WWE.
Although we reported on it, it does look like they're kind of rushing towards that match, because Lana was tweeting, I believe it was yesterday, that Hulk Hogan, Rusev is going to crush John Cena. And so it's looking like, the way they're setting it up, Rusev could join Team Authority, because that offer was put on the table to him by Stephanie McMahon, and they still have not yet answered that. So he could be on Team Authority, and we could build to a Cena versus Rusev program at the December pay-per-view. That's what it looks like right now on paper. That said, who knows, but it certainly doesn't look like this feud is going to drag out till WrestleMania.
Hey, did you see the second part of that tweet? She said she's going to crush John Cena, USA, and the WWE World Heavyweight title. If I'm a Brock Lesnar fan heading towards WrestleMania, I don't think that main event match is happening now.
No, that's not happening. I mean, Rusev is not going to get a shot at the world title anytime soon. John Cena already has a match lined up for that with his big victory, you know, because he lost the right to face Seth Rollins, so he got that big number one contenders match, Josh, and he happened to win that thing, so he doesn't have to worry. He's got his title match in the bag, but I smell this as a way of them hyping up John Cena to get him ready for another match with Brock Lesnar, which I think is a mistake. I think Rusev's this big monster right now. If all this building of Rusev has just been to build up John Cena for another match with Brock Lesnar, I personally think it's a waste, because I think most people, and we've had a poll on our site that you can still vote on, most people aren't interested to see Brock Lesnar John Cena 3, and I think that's a pretty unanimous statement from wrestling fans.
Yeah, I agree with you on that point of view. Like, I just don't know what would John Cena do if he lost to Brock Lesnar for a third time in a row. Like, I think as we're headed towards WrestleMania this year, like, kind of like last year, we really don't have the whole gist of what's happening. I mean, yeah, we hoped that Daniel Bryan was going to be in the title picture because he was gaining so much momentum during that time, but as far as, like, the whole card, nobody really knew what was going to happen, but the closing of the year is going to be interesting. I don't know what they're going to do with the whole Brock Lesnar John Cena match. I don't know if they're going to save it for the Rumble or TLC, but if Brock wins, I don't know what they're going to do with Cena.
I don't know either, especially if they use up the Rusev match. I mean, Hulk Hogan has been angling and angling to have a John Cena versus Hulk Hogan match, but I don't think we're ever going to see that. I don't think anyone wants to see that, except for the Hulkster, of course, brother. But, you know, John Cena versus Sting would be something that people might talk about, but Sting has said he only wants to fight someone of his generation, which would rule John Cena out, I would take it. So I really don't know. It's a good question. Where does John Cena fall at WrestleMania? And I don't know the answer to that, other than, you know, does this whole Authority versus Vince feud continue and John Cena ends up being the representative for Vince in some feud with Hunter and Stephanie?
I would love to see another John Cena Triple H match. I mean, I've seen the first one in Chicago for WrestleMania 22. Very underrated main event, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not a Cena fan, but I know he won that match, but that's still one of my favorite matches.
Yeah, because there was a rumor, I guess it was, I don't know if it was this past WrestleMania or the WrestleMania before that, there was going to be this big elaborate angle where it was going to be Vince McMahon pitted against Stephanie and Hunter for control of the company, and that kind of all died. We never saw it never saw the light of day, basically. We never saw Vince cut any promos, nothing, so it never really saw the light of day, but maybe that's where we're going with this. I don't know. I mean, there's crazy rumors that Stephanie's pregnant that are out there, too, which I don't believe, but, you know, everything's being thrown out there with speculation about this, but obviously, Vince just doesn't end up on TV a lot anymore these days, and I think a lot of people were genuinely shocked to see him on Raw in Buffalo, New York, and rightfully so, because we haven't seen him in about a year, and that's one thing, to give them credit in the WWE, they have found ways to get those exciting, we never expected kind of reactions the last month and a half or so. We saw The Rock appear out of nowhere, Mick Foley, now Vince McMahon. I think, you know, some of that is good, and the WWE has found a way to do it now on their Raw programming from time to time.
Here's my thing, like, okay, let's say, like, the Authority loses at Survivor Series, right? I think it would be a big mistake to let Triple H out of TV, because, to me, Triple H has been the best character in the WWE this past 2 years, besides Daniel Bryan. His work as a heel has been absolutely amazing. His matches have been awesome, and I know he's trying to transition to being the next guy, like, owning the company and stuff, but him as a character and him being off of TV would be a big mistake. I know a lot of people get tired of the 20-minute Triple H promo that happens on Raw each week, but I don't know. I don't know. Do they go for a different GM if the Authority loses, or is this going to be what it is?
I don't know. Well, the one thing that seems clear is Vince doesn't want to be on TV a lot. So it's not going to be Vince. That's the one thing I think we can guarantee on. And I also think we can guarantee it's not like Triple H is going to take this line down if this happens. And if the rumors are true, Stephanie can't be on TV for whatever reason. Well, maybe it's more of a straight-up Triple H versus Vince for control of the company, and Stephanie kind of takes a backseat role, and we don't see her as much, at least live and part of, you know, coming out and cutting promos. But it all remains to be seen. But I think it definitely leads to speculation on where this all is heading and, you know, where we could go with this, because obviously the WWE seems obsessed with this whole idea of having a general manager. They don't seem to... or the general manager or some kind of ownership represented on the show. And I'm just not all that convinced that we need that in wrestling these days, but WWE seems to think it's a big deal. The only company that really doesn't run with this whole concept is Ring of Honor. I mean, we don't really see Ring of Honor have this management-type authority figure. I mean, Nigel McGuinness is the closest you get to that, but he just really makes matches. That's all Nigel does. TNA, it's always a huge part of their storyline. WWE, it's always been a huge part of their storyline. And the new Lucha Underground, which we'll talk about later, that's part of their storyline as well. So, I mean, it's not going anywhere in wrestling, I guess, is a thing.
I think it's more the fact that, I think after Eric Bischoff came to the WWE, they've taken the manager role, like the valets or the personal managers for wrestlers, out, and it made the most part of their show as a heel, bringing in these authority type of managers. Yeah, you had a couple of good guys here and there. You had Austin, you had William Regal before he turned heel again. He switched a lot during that time, but I think Shane and Stephanie were a manager, if I'm not mistaken. And then you had the whole Mike Adamley project. You kind of feel bad because he is the Chicago sports caster out here. But I think it's run its course a little bit with the Authority figure on the show. But I don't know what else they would do to find the next big heel. I mean, look at the work Seth Rollins has done. If he wasn't associated with the Authority, would he be where he is right now?
No, absolutely not. I mean, he has had to have so much support in... Basically, Seth Rollins is your top heel in WWE right now. And I mean, I like Seth Rollins, but I don't think he's ready to be the top heel of the biggest company in the world. I'm sorry. I just don't see that as a role for him. It just... It seems forced and out of place and just not the right role for him. Like, it doesn't seem... Like, it wouldn't work without all of what he has behind him. I think that's clearly true. And I think this feud eventually he's going to have with Randy Orton is probably one of the more interesting feuds Randy Orton has had in, I want to say, in, like, the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I thought he had an interesting feud with Bad News Barrett a couple of years ago, but they really didn't do much out of it because there wasn't like a number one contender spot for it. But I thought that feud made both guys better, and I think the same thing can happen with Rollins and Orton. But I agree with you, James. He's been putting on tremendous performances in the ring, Seth Rollins. He's a consistent performer. There's no doubt about that. But I've not been the biggest fan of his promos recently, and it's kind of like kind of being redundant where everybody needs to shoot a movie. Seth Rollins needs to do a curb stomp, so I guess that's going to be the new Vine. So, like, whatever somebody needs to be written off TV, get the Vine going on with the curb stomp out of nowhere.
Well, no, you know what I was saying? I don't know if I said this to Walder last week or if it was on a podcast or I just said it as a joke in passing, but I said... Seth Rollins' new gimmick, Randy Orton was the career killer. He did that whole gimmick where he was a legend killer. Seth Rollins, rather, he is the movie maker. That's what he is, the movie maker. And you know what? Randy Orton, the timing some people would say is awful, but if you look what happened with Dean Ambrose, he was at a similar point to where Randy Orton is right now. And boy, did he come back with huge, huge reaction and has ridden that wave ever since. I think, you know, even though it looks on paper to be a lousy time for Randy Orton to leave, I think it actually gives fans something to look forward to, and they don't exactly know when Randy's going to be back. And I think, you know, that element of surprise is something that's always lacking in wrestling nowadays. And whenever we can... have that, be it for people making movies or whatever the reason is, I think that's a good thing. And you mentioned Wade Barrett. I should mention Wade Barrett is going to be on television up here in Canada, depending on when you're listening to this, early Saturday morning. He's going to be doing coverage of English League Soccer live in studio with the folks at Rogers Sportsnet, who are the partners with the WWE. So Wade Barrett's going to try his hand at being a soccer analyst, and maybe we'll hear when exactly Wade Barrett is going to be back in a WWE ring, because I know he was really hoping to be back for this particular weekend, because the WWE is off on their European tour, touring through London, Ireland, and all those places, and unfortunately Wade Barrett will be in Canada, not any of those places, so... rough news for him, but the schedule was for him to be back sometime around December, so we'll see where Wade Barrett is at, I guess, health-wise, by tomorrow, or if you're listening to this on Saturday, we may already know.
I got the perfect idea. So, TLC is in Cleveland this year, and Dolph Ziggler is from Cleveland. Bad News Barrett comes back and takes the towel for him in his hometown.
Wow, so that whole like kind of baby face thing that he had going, you're going to put a crushing end to in Cleveland, Ohio, it sounds like there, Josh.
Yes.
Because Bad News, when Bad News left, there's no question he was on his way to being a face.
Uh-huh.
But,
I mean, here's my thing, I've been flip-flopping on this idea for a little while, actually, because... You know, so many people try to come up with scenarios of how CM Punk can come back at the Royal Rumble or whatever. I know the main
he's not
one is,
coming
oh,
back,
Bad News
though.
Barrett comes out.
He's not like, coming back,
Bad
though.
They play CM Punk music and Bad News Barrett comes out with his, like, whole, like, hoodie and all that. then I'm afraid I got some bad news.
That's one to do for you folks in Chicago. I'm sure they would love it. CM Punk is not walking through that door anytime soon. I think it's clear. Although it seems like they have gotten a few issues resolved, like to kind of clean up business matters, I don't think CM Punk is in any hurry to go running through that door and go out in that curtain. It will if the day ever comes he does come back, it will be interesting how he does reappear. But obviously, right now, I just don't see it. I do see a feud for the lovely Mrs. Punk with Stephanie McMahon down the line. I think that's definitely coming.
Mm-hmm. Hey, since we're on the topic, did you see the rivalry show?
No, I haven't. It's weird. I've been having trouble getting the WWE Network ever since it's been free because I don't have access. I have access to the American version normally, but I don't now with this free thing, so I don't know what's going on. It's really bizarre, and of course, here in Canada, we only get what's on the network when it's live. So, and I'm not a Rogers subscriber, so I can't even get the network legally up here. So that's a long answer to no, yeah. Josh. I have not seen it.
Yeah. I brought it up because I watched the second part of the Austin McMahon rivalry thing, and the main thing about it was about how Stone Cold was kicking his ball and going home, and it felt so eerie to what happened earlier this year. I'm just wondering, are they ever going to talk about this? Why he left?
I don't know. It seems like a game of chicken between the two, because I don't think either is in a hurry to talk about it, and until one side blinks and talks about it, I don't think the other side will. So it's almost like a game of chicken, because CM Punk has done a number of interviews since like all this has happened. It's been made very clear to the people interviewing he has no desire to talk about wrestling other than, you know, if you want to talk old school wrestling, he's more than happy to talk with you about Randy Savage and Roddy Piper and that sort of thing. But as far as his own career, he has said very little at all about his status, what he wants to do, other than that he has no desire to come back to WWE or be back in wrestling. And quite frankly, I believe him.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And it's kind of ironic, like yesterday Bill Simmons from ESPN went on this big Twitter rant, and then he was hanging out with CM Punk later that night. So
they were at the Kings game together, so CM Punk going to see his good friend, the Kings mascot, because he had a bet with him over your Chicago hockey team, didn't he? And he lost.
Yeah.
Not good.
Hawks will be back this year. But, yeah, I know, you don't watch hockey.
So. I don't watch hockey at all. I am the anti-Canadian in that respect. I have no... We get 7 games on 7 different networks up here on a Saturday night, Josh, and I watch none of them. So, no, hockey, not my thing. Yeah, the Bulls, now, that's a different matter. Our Raptors, this is the only time I'm ever going to get to say this. Our Raptors are first in the Eastern Conference. All of the Eastern Conference, hail our Raptors. I think Walder would want me to mention that as well. So as he convalesces, our Raptors, best in the Eastern Conference, only lost to the Miami Heat. So there you go.
That's going to be an interesting series.
Yeah, it could be an interesting year for the Raptors, for the Eastern Conference in general in basketball. But that's one team, you know, CM Punk, he gets behind the Cubs, he gets behind the Blackhawks. We never see him get behind the Bulls. What's with that?
I don't know. Maybe he's not a basketball fan.
Well, I want him.
Maybe it's not too, it's not, maybe because punk rock people don't associate themselves with basketball.
And, of course, no one wants to get behind your Bears. Your Bears are a disgrace.
Well, they're not a disgrace. They had an off first half.
They've had an off season. They have had an off season.
It's not like they're the Jets with like they're 1-8. They're 3-5. I mean, everybody needs to chill out. They got the majority of their home games in the second half.
At least the Jets are 1-8, and they'll get a good draft pick. They'll finally fire the big mouth coach they have, and they'll have a big draft pick. You know, things are. I'd rather be that team. Just saying. You know, I don't know. Maybe we need Mongo McMichael to come back into wrestling and rally the troops for the Chicago Bears.
Please, no
comment on that one either.
No.
Let's get into something that you on your show, you had a chance to talk with Matt Stryker, who most people will remember from the WWE. But as some people who have been checking it out now know, Matt Stryker is the play-by-play voice for Lucha Underground, which is now 2 weeks old. Again, here in Canada, I do not get the El Rey Network. Your thoughts on 2 weeks of Lucha Underground? I did see the match between the former Johnny Nitro, now Johnny Mundo, and Prince Puma, who is Ricochet. I thought that was very good. That's all of Lucha Underground that I have seen, but what have been your thoughts of the first couple weeks of Lucha Underground, especially the second week, which just happened, what was that, last night?
Wednesday.
Yeah.
I want to start it off with the whole, like, the energy part, because, as you know, James, I want my main goal for, like, my dreams and stuff was to be, like, a commentator in any of these wrestling companies. To say, like, oh, I had a play-by-play commentator for a mainstream wrestling company now, that's probably one of the biggest honors I've had, besides having JR on the show earlier this year. So I want to thank Lucha Underground first before anything. Matt was a great guy. If you guys haven't heard the conversation, just check out the Pro Wrestling Experience. You'll find it there. It was a fun conversation, James. I don't know if you got to listen to it yet, but the guy loves his wrestling, and I think he's the perfect guy to call this action for Lucha Underground, especially with him being the wrestling encyclopedia. And the show's a bit fun. I like the presentation. It's different. It's fun. I think Lucha Underground does a great job of interacting with the fans on social media during the show as well. I think what's making Lucha Underground pretty good right now is that it's different and it flows well. And it's the main part of the show is wrestling, even though it is like a Hollywood production movie type. It's all wrestling, and that's all you can really ask for.
And Matt Stryker is the perfect play-by-play guy if you want it to be all about wrestling, because that is kind of what he's all about. And I have heard Josh's interview with Matt Stryker. Maybe we'll get a link up on here with our podcast, and you can go check it out. But it was a good conversation between the two. Obviously, Matt Stryker still takes some digs at the WWE here and there in his commentary. I noticed that in the match he with Prince Puma and Johnny Mondo. A few little quick digs at the WWE, but I get it, and I kind of expect that. But, you know, Matt Stryker is a guy who for better or worse, likes to go full into the history and is a straight-up wrestling guy. And, I mean, that's so lacking. Like, I'm not going to fault that, because we get so little of that from, as I like to call them now, I've just given up and I call them the Three Stooges. It is what Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler, and JBL have become. They are the Three Stooges of WWE broadcasting. And quite frankly, they hurt the product overall, because your announcer is there, and I think this was part of your conversation with Matt Stryker. The announcer's there to enhance the talent. That's their job. JBL, yeah. Michael Cole, and Jerry the King Lawler are not doing that on a weekly basis. They're out there popping the truck, popping themselves, making jokes, and promoting the hell out of stuff. That's all they're doing. But they're not promoting the wrestlers. They're promoting networks. They're promoting, you know, like, they're promoting Sonic. I mean, they're promoting everything but the wrestlers in the ring. And I'm quite frankly sick of them and sick of it.
It's like a 3-hour news talk radio show.
Kind of. Like the funny thing is, for a lot of people that don't know, Michael Cole's background is in news. He was an embedded reporter in like covering Iraq and stuff like that. Like, this guy was a serious news reporter before he came to the WWE. And I think where Michael Cole shines, quite frankly, those weekly sit-down interviews he does with Triple H and the odd time they replace Triple H with other people each week. But that is Michael Cole at his very best. Like, I think those are great, great things. So it's not like I'm saying Michael Cole is devoid of talent, but play-by-play is certainly not his talent. And even though he's done it for years and years and years, I haven't seen, quite frankly, the amount of improvement that I would like to see from someone who's been doing a job for, what, over a decade and a half now, right? For Michael Cole in a play-by-play chair, whether it be SmackDown or Raw or somewhere. I mean, he's got to be better than that.
I don't want to go on the big old tangent on commentary. We can save that for different podcasts, maybe for Heyman and Moon or whatever, but to me, I tune into a wrestling show because I want to see what's going on in the ring and what I can learn from it. And when you're watching a show and you can obviously tell that their focus is not what's going on in the ring, you're going to feel indifferent to it. So that's how I feel when I watch Raw. Obviously, Michael Cole, JBL, and Jerry Lawler want to talk about other stuff and argue like a bunch of buffoons. I mean, that's on them, but I choose to not listen to Rob. I listen to music, and when there's in-ring promos on, then I'll turn on. But besides that, I'm not listening to the commentary anymore.
Yeah, but you know what? Good on AJ for no-selling one of Jerry Lawler's bad rip-off jokes. He stole a Bobby Heenan line, threw it at AJ, and AJ literally left him hanging. I thought, good on AJ. She literally left the king hanging to die. And I thought it was great. So, you know, it is what it is. Commentary is something that I think I leave it alone for a couple weeks and then I come right back to it and I'm just like, ugh. Because it frustrates me and it's just one of those things. But, what else is going on in wrestling this week? TNA still doesn't have a deal. That seems to be the case. Time is ticking. They only have shows taped until November 19th on Spike. They're notably absent from all the new promotions Spike is doing. Even though there were rumors about a week or two ago that Spike and them might get a last second deal together, I think that's clearly not the case. And, you know, TNA Wrestling really has their future up in the air.
Yeah, they do. Bobby Roode was on Busted Open this past Monday, and Taz called into the show like visibly upset because they didn't do any promoting of him being on the show. Like, they spent like the first like hour or so promoting the network and talking about WWE stuff, and didn't even mention Bobby Roode was going to be on the show. And he was like, as a former world champion, I would be totally pissed off by you guys, and that was an odd situation.
So Taz literally phoned in on the show, like, unannounced?
Yeah.
Wow. He, you know, he's the type of guy, he's got to check himself, because he's one of those guys, too, on Twitter. The odd time fans will press his buttons, and he will say a lot of stupid things. Like, that's just not good. That's not professional. And, you know, when you get at TNA, this is where kind of the wheels come off for me in taking them seriously as a company. I mean, all the blunders we've seen from Dixie Carter on Twitter, and Taz is another one who at times loses his cool on Twitter and doesn't act professionally, and literally calling into a show like you're suggesting, that's just... You don't do that. Like as someone who's worked in radio, and you've worked in radio too, you give all the advantage to the person who's running the radio show when you do that. Because you're validating their comments by you calling in that it made you angry or upset. And that's just something that a lot of smart people in radio will be able to take and twist to their own advantage. And I haven't heard what you're talking about, but I'm sure that's what those guys did, because I have heard them do interviews before and stuff. These guys aren't exactly idiots. They know what they're doing and they know what they're talking about. So I would imagine they took that and were very grateful to have Taz on their airwaves, being as ranting and raving as he often is.
Well, here's my thing. Like, I know their marketing and promotion team is absolutely garbage as far as TNA is concerned. Like, I was fortunate enough on Wednesday I got to talk to Robbie and Brooke for their Amazing Race show. And lovely people, great couple, and I hope I get to see them back on TV, because Robbie and Brooke were one of the reasons why I watched TNA, because I liked what they did in the ring. But besides that, like, you know, as bad as the company is, you would think TNA would want to get as much exposure as it is. Take advantage of the internet, unlike WWE does. Take advantage of what the internet people want. Take advantage of shows that want to cover you. And to have, like, Taz calling to a show that is even taking their time out of their busy schedule to have the world champion on this show. And then you go in there and do that, that's just messed up.
Yeah, I mean, there's a way you go about it. I mean, Adam Cole rolled through there when he was the ROH world champion. I don't know if he was on that show, but I know he was on with Sam Roberts, and I mean, they had a great conversation, and you know, to be on with Sam Roberts, that's a big deal. I mean Sam mm-hmm. is doing some of the top interviews you get with wrestlers today, and you know, for Adam Cole, that's a huge thing, and for ROH, that's a huge thing, because to best of my knowledge, Adam Cole's the only guy I ever remember Sam talking to from that company. And so, you know, Adam ends up not only representing himself, but representing that company. And, you know, like, when you have someone else from the company calling in like that on a show, it dampens, like, the value that you can get out of something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that a lot of the wrestling shows don't cover TNA as much. Like, I do my coverage on TNA a lot because I like to give all companies different time slots on the show so people can tune in, because there's always a fan base for different type of companies. So I give the TNA fans a chance to come on and talk about what they want to talk about. And TNA doesn't want to do their part and have that exposure to their fan base. I'm sorry. I mean, you get what you get.
From my perspective, here's why the Condo on the Moon doesn't cover TNA a lot. Because they're a company that has proven they're on a path that is going to nowhere. That's one. I don't think they're going to be around in 2015. It's not that I wish that upon them. I just don't think they are, based on what they've done. And I think a lot of the stupid decisions they've made have just made them a company that I just don't feel confident in supporting or even trying to evaluate in some ways, because basically they're copying a bunch of ideas I've seen in the WWE, and if I want to watch that, well, the WWE Network's $9.99, I believe I've been told. I can do that.
You made a good point there.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I'm not gonna disagree with you.
No. Like, and I mean, all the power to you. Like there is a million people out there that love TNA that watch it every week. They've mm-hmm. proven that. But they've also proven that they're a company that probably isn't going to have a TV deal come 2015. And they're a company that doesn't have the money or is willing to put the money in to sustain their talent roster. That's not a good thing, whether you're a fan of TNA or just a fan of wrestlers being employed. Like, it's not a good thing right now. And, you know, like, I think part of why Lucha Underground has gotten such a groundswell of support out of the gate is, well, guess what? They're doing something totally different from the WWE, and they're giving opportunities to wrestlers like a Ricochet, who's worked on the independents, and a lot of people can get behind that and want something to rally behind, and Lucha Underground has been that for a couple weeks. Will that last for the whole entire run of it? Who knows? But it just proves that there is an audience out there that wants to rally behind things. And, you know, Ring of Honor, they're going to be coming back to pay-per-view within inside of a month. And we're going to attempt to have a bunch of Ring of Honor stars on this show heading into that. And they're heading back to pay-per-view. And I think that's a big opportunity for that company to be different and get wrestling fans to kind of come on board with them. And, you know, the opportunity is out there because the alternative to the WWE has never been more lacking. I mean, TNA isn't it anymore. They can claim they're it all they want. They're just not.
Yeah, they're not. I'm not going to lie with you, man, but I'm going to be interested to see the interviews you get. Hopefully I can get some on the way to Final Battle. It's going to be an interesting ride. Jay Briscoe's still the champion, and a lot of cool things coming up in the future.
Yeah, they still got a few shows to get through before they get to Final Battle, but we've got a wish list out there, and if everyone on our wish list comes through, I'll be a very happy guy, and I think our listeners will be as well, with a mix of people that we've talked to in the past, and a mix of a few people that we haven't talked to, who I look forward to talking to, so that'll be exciting as we head down the road to Final Battle. Great interviews to come, and Josh, in running your own show, you know how that works with, you know, emailing people and checking and this and that. It's a lot of work that goes into setting up interviews with people, and it takes a lot of time and effort, but, you know, when you have a good one like you did this past week with Matt Stryker, it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been very fortunate and very humbled for the people that taking their time to come on this, my show. I started doing broadcasting school last year, and I graduated in March, and I would never thought I'd been able to have the bevy of guests I've had on my show so far. So, like, we're heading almost to 100 episodes on my radio show, and I've had some of the biggest people in wrestling from the commentary side, referees, independent wrestlers, and even some legends like Ken Shamrock, and it's I'm very happy where my radio show has been going, and it's been very humbling, and I hope this continues.
Never mentioned me once. I've been on his show too, people, and yes, I did not get a mention.
Great guest.
Not one.
No, you've been a great guest. Here's my deal. I think what's happening for us is really good because we pride ourselves on our professionalism when we do these interviews. Like, we're not looking to get anything from us. Like, I mean, yeah, we get, like, viewers and listeners, but it's about promoting the talents and getting their name out there as well. So, like, I've been happy I've had you on the show. It's been a lot of fun. We always have great conversations when you're available on the show. So if any of you guys are ever interested and you're listening to this, you want a show that's not a dirt sheet show for 3 hours, check out my radio show, Pro Wrestling Experience on Chicagoland Sports Radio.
It's fun. Yeah. It's fun talking with people, and the better the people, the better the conversations. I know we've had Adam Cole, for example, on this show a couple times, and we love Adam because Adam's just a really smart guy. Really gets this business, really gets his place in this business, and speaks intelligently not only about his own wrestling career, but about the company that he's in Ring of Honor, and is a really honest, humble, great guy to have on the show, and we have lots of great guests, and you know, Chris Walder, who's here with me every week as a co-host, does a great job, and whenever you're filling in for Chris Walder, you do a fine job yourself, Josh. So we appreciate that and all of that. And, you know, it is what it is. There's lots of shows out there, and everyone has their own take on the world of wrestling and how they wish to cover it. And I think nothing, you know, there's lots of ways to, if everyone covered the sport the same way, it wouldn't be fun.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
Because everyone has their own take on it, and that's the beautiful thing about it. And I don't know, what else did we talk about in wrestling this week? We had an article in Condo on the Moon, and it was based on an article done on The Rock in Fortune magazine. And boy, oh boy, when I looked at that article and all the things The Rock has coming up, where is he fitting wrestling into that? Because I just don't see it. I mean, he is doing so many things coming up. Like, he's doing a a television show with Mark Wahlberg, and he's doing like three or four different movies. I don't see how The Rock ever fits wrestling in like a meaningful way for like the rest of his career.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's got a new TV show called Wake Up Call that he's doing on TNT. A couple more movies. I think this might be the last Fast and the Furious movie. I'm not sure if that's true or not. But, yeah, the guy's going to be busy over the next couple months. I mean, it'd be cool if he does, like, a spot appearance here. I mean, people barely thought he was going to be a WrestleMania this year, and he showed up. So, you never know.
Yeah, but I think that's the point. I think we've reached the point where it's now, it's spot appearances by The Rock. It's not programs anymore. Because I don't think he can do them. I don't think he has the time.
No, I don't think he has the time. You know, I think he may wrestle at 32 if they want to go all out. I'm not sure if the whole Dallas thing is confirmed or not. They haven't said anything about it. I guess that they might go there. If they're going to go all out for this WrestleMania 32 and break the record and stuff, I guess he'll wrestle on there.
WrestleMania 32, I mean, if they go to AT&T Stadium, the home of the Dallas Cowboys, we're talking 100,000 people and, you know.
And a 5-hour show.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, I don't know if there isn't too many matches out there that would be that compelling. Like, they always talk about the brand of WrestleMania sells itself. And I think this WrestleMania at 32 will determine if that's true or not. Because I don't think they get 100,000 people unless they have a couple of just top-tier matches that everyone wants to see. The one that everyone's dying to see is Punk and Austin. And I think that's far away on both fronts. I'm not sure Steve wants any part of going back in the ring. And as we talked about earlier, CM Punk doesn't seem to want any part of coming back to the WWE. So I don't think that match is possible. People talk about The Undertaker, but if you look at The Undertaker these days, I don't know. Like, I just don't think he wants to ever wrestle another match again. And I don't blame him, quite frankly. And then when you get beyond that, what are your big matches? Who fills that stadium? It's not as much as the WWE wants to say it. Guess what? It's not John Cena. John Cena versus anyone as a match is not on its own filling AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, home of the Dallas Cowboys. That's not happening.
I could picture Vince being like, "We're gonna have a take my ball home match, Austin against CM Punk."
Well, wouldn't they be bringing their ball back? Wouldn't that be it? I don't know, but I just—that's the match to me. Like that's the one match that, yeah, that gets 100,000 people in a building. Austin CM Punk, I think without question, does that. I don't think.
Is it an I Quit match?
I don't know what it would be. I don't know what it would be, but just the dynamic of it, like, to have those two in a ring, because their personalities and their wrestling characters are so diverse and so divergent, I think it's a feud that writes itself, and it's easy money when you actually pull the trigger on it. But to get both guys to be part of it is the real trick there. We mentioned about The Rock. I don't see The Rock doing anything at this pay-per-view necessarily. Like, 2 years down the line, I don't see it. If there is a match for The Rock, it's with Roman Reigns. Because I think the hook of a family member and him helping a family member might be enough to get him to do a match. But other than that, I don't see a match out there. This whole Triple H versus Rock match, I don't see that ever happening.
Do you think we'll see John Cena against Austin if that Puck match doesn't happen?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think Austin has much interest in doing that.
I think that match would happen before a John Cena and Hulk Hogan match.
See, that Austin match would be tricky, though, because you've already done a match with The Rock, and The Rock beat John Cena. So is Austin going to go in there and lose to Cena? I don't think he is, because The Rock didn't have to lose to him. He eventually did, but he didn't first time out. So, I don't see that one as a match personally, but who knows? I mean, they got to worry about WrestleMania 31. We're talking about WrestleMania 32. Yeah. 31, that's in a pretty big place, too, in the new home for the San Francisco 49ers. Now, all the tickets are sold, but filling out that card and making a happy place for them to be, that's another story.
Yeah. I think this year's going to be about the new generation, about the guys that are there right now. I don't think we're going to have a lot of part-time influence on the show like we've had in the previous 3 years. I don't know if Dean Ambrose is going to be in one of those three main events for WrestleMania. It's not going to be a bad thing if he's not, because The Shield has only been on TV for a year.
Almost 3 years now.
Well, 2.5. Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart almost went a decade without being in the main event scene. So, I mean, it's going to take time, but I think this is going to be more influence on what's going on in the current roster.
Yeah, but it's a different animal now, though. I know what you're saying about Shawn and Bret. But, you know, they came from a much more traditional way of how you come into things. I mean, they wrestled in tag teams, both of them, for years. That's poo-pooed now. Like, we don't see tag teams. Like, I almost joke around, but the only tag teams we ever seem to see now are brothers. Like, the Usos are brothers, the Dust Brothers. You get Nick and Matt Jackson, the Young Bucks are brothers. I mean, that seems to be the only tag teams you see out there consistently. I mean, there is a few that aren't. I mean, I get that, and on the independents especially. But in WWE, it's like, usually you're lucky if you got three tag teams going at the same time. And that's the thing. These guys just don't come up the same way as they used to, and it's almost like you're on a fast track to the top, and once you get there, you better be good and succeed, because if you're not, you'll be gone just as fast as you got there, and that seems to be the case. I mean, you look at all the guys that have been rushed to the top in WWE that have kind of fallen back into no man's land. Look at a guy like Sheamus. You know, he was one of those guys, rushed right to the top. Alberto Del Rio, when he was part of this company, same thing. You know, and, like, you could list about four or five other guys where that's been the case, where they've come in. Wade Barrett was a guy who kind of rose up the ladder quite quickly and then went right back down a number of times. And you know, like, that's how this company seems to work now. It's a fast track to the top, mm-hmm. but when you get there, you better make something of it. And the Shield, to their credit, have been guys who have made the most of the opportunities that have been given to them.
Yeah, they have. I'm not going to lie with you. I just don't know what they would do with the whole Shield thing. Like, I've been pitching out this idea that all members of the Shield would collide with each other just based on the fact that all three of these guys have been feuding with each other in separate feuds over the last 5 months, so I thought a whole big collision course with all three of the guys at one WrestleMania, because 2 years prior they're in tag team matches. I think what made the most sense would be all the Shield guys going against each other.
Or, I mean, they haven't had a lot of success with it in the past. And the last time they did this at WrestleMania, it bombed. So, you know, with all that being said, do we see Brock Lesnar face the entire Shield, not together necessarily, but as separate entities, where we see each member of the Shield get a shot at, you know, Brock Lesnar?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, it would.
I wouldn't say it'd be a far shot, but I think right now you'd be more likely to see a OVW Fatal 4-Way match with Brock, John, Randy, and Batista before that match.
Oh, I see that. I wouldn't want to see that. I think the storytelling you could do leading up to a Lesnar versus the Shield 4-Way would be much more compelling, because you could tease the idea that these three would get back together to take out the one common enemy, which is Brock Lesnar. I think that would be a much more compelling storyline where you could almost bill it like this could end up being a 3-on-1 match. And then now all of a sudden Brock Lesnar, who's the monster, who's ran through everybody, yeah, but can he run through three guys in the Shield? I don't know about that.
Yes. We'll wait to see. It is what it is, but it's interesting to talk about it.
I think there's no clear definitive main event. I think there was a time when it was Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar and it was written in stone. Well, they've broken the stone now. They used someone's head and they broke that stone, and now we're back to square one to see where we're going with this, because I don't think the WWE has any plans set in stone, and if they do, I think they're a little foolish, because I don't think we're well established on where this thing should be going. And with all the injuries they've had this year, they've got to be flexible, because, you know, who knows if the guy they have picked for a certain slot is going to be healthy. I mean, that's just been the reality of their 2014. We've seen many, many guys go down, including just this last past weekend, we saw Bo Dallas out. The Bolivers may not have Bo for Christmas. I mean, that's just a downer for, like, the end of 2014. If Bo can't believe in Santa Claus, who will?
Oh, man, that's a good one. You know, kind of ironic with all the, like, since we're talking about, like, video games and stuff, like, all the cover people have been injured this year. Hasn't been playing good this year. Richard Sherman's been playing like crap for the Seahawks this year and Madden. Kevin Durant's injured for the NBA game. I think it was Justin Verlander who was in the baseball one this year. He hasn't played good. I don't know who was on the hockey one this year, but that doesn't matter. But
wow.
What if John Cena got hurt?
Well, there's talk he's hanging on by a thread. I mean, there's been a talk of that for months now, that he is not in the best of shape. And if he got hurt going into WrestleMania, who knows? Because he doesn't have a defined program, but obviously he's going to be one of your main events. And, you know, another name that's interesting, when we kick around, you know, what will people be doing at WrestleMania? What is the leader of the Wyatt family going to be doing, Bray Wyatt? Because, I mean, he had the big John Cena match last year. Where does he fall in this card, and who's he facing? Because, you know, it could look like a huge step down in between years. And you see that a lot of the times in WWE. If you go back, compare one year to the next year, I know Dolph Ziggler was on with Chris Jericho on his podcast this week, and they were talking in relation to SummerSlam, but it was funny. They were talking about how Dolph, you know, the one year he faced Jericho in a big match for his briefcase, the next year he is in a mixed tagged with Caitlin facing AJ Lee and Big E. It can change, and a lot changes in a year in the WWE for people, and that's the point. But we shall see how it all plays out. Thanks for filling in last minute here, Josh, and filling in for an ailing Chris Walder. We appreciate it, and best of luck to you with the Wrestling Experience Talk Show on Wednesdays, where this man is getting pretty quality guests on a fairly consistent basis, and I'm not just talking about myself. He actually is getting some good guests on his program, so check it out. And, you know, check Josh out on Twitter and give him all your stuff, Josh, and promote it. We never do enough of that on this show, promoting ourselves. I keep forgetting, I come from basketball. Wrestling encourages all this promotion. So promote yourself, yes. Josh.
Well, Mr. 999, no, I'm kidding. you can follow me on Twitter at Josh Lopez CSR. That's not for Chair Shot Reality. Who knows? Maybe I might be on Chair Shot Reality one day. But anyway, it's Josh Lopez, CSR. My show's Twitter page is at PW Show for the Pro Wrestling Experience. We're on every Wednesdays, 10 to 1 Central Time. So for those in the East Coast in Canada, it would be 11 to 2. And then, of course, if you live in the West, it would be from 8 to 11. So,
and if you live in Saskatchewan where they don't follow daylight savings time, we have no idea. You figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out for yourself.
Like, there's some weird things. Like I was watching your U.S. elections. We're going off topic here, but I was watching your U.S. elections. Your country is very confusing. Kentucky, they have polls closing in two different times in the same state. Like, what's going on there, Josh? Like, I don't understand. Alaska, the polls don't close till 1 a.m. It's like craziness.
And today, they're supposed to have the final tallies of all the votes from here. I mean, for a Democratic state, they just, Bruce Lauder, who's a Republican, just won the governor race. So, I don't know.
CM Punk should run for governor. Here. He could win.
Yeah.
CM Punk for governor. Could you imagine? Linda McMahon would be pissed.
I know, right?
Because Linda had the... This is the year for Linda to run, and she didn't run. What was she thinking? She could have actually won this time. The Republicans were winning seats. It was going that way. Actually, we talked about this with Walter, but while we're on this politics thing, which we didn't plan on talking about, do you see Stephanie McMahon as a viable candidate going forward? Because I kind of think she just might be.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it on the condo on the moon, hanging on the moon show.
Maybe I talked about this with you and not Walder. I don't know. Never mind then, Josh.
Yeah.
But yeah, she could. I think it could happen.
Yeah, I think she could. I think she might win, actually.
I don't know.
Because I think people might be more in tune to who she is as a person more than they did with Linda.
Well, you're saying Linda's not a person?
I'm not saying she's not a person, but of course, when you're the wife of this big man, people are going to give you a bad look anyway.
Oh, yes. Vince, Grandpa Vince. We all know deep down it's Vince that really wanted to run, but he can't.
Yeah, damn it.
He's done too many dastardly things in his life. He cannot run for office. And that's saying something, Josh, because some people run for office in your country that have done some terrible things. And Vince,
yes,
Vince is like even worse than that, apparently. So he can't get in there. So it's if the wife can't get in, now we're gonna go for the daughter. Who knows?
I mean, he faced his own death. So I mean,
he's done a lot of things. He brags about beating the U.S. government in a trial too. That probably doesn't help his case politically anyway.
And you suckers trying to get me out of my business.
It was nice to see Vince, though, I'm not going to lie. I mean, we don't get to see him as often as we used to, and I was very happy to see him back in Buffalo. And he seemed to enjoy it himself, which I thought was great, because he really seemed to milk that whole pop he got in Buffalo.
That crowd was horrible.
Not for that, though. Not for that, though. They were popping for Vinnie Mac.
Yeah.
They liked their Vince Mac. McMahon. The boss was back, and they were happy about it in Buffalo. Buffalo is a weird kind of crowd, though, because you get, like, a mix of Canadians, Americans. It's kind of all across the board. So it's a very unique crowd there in Buffalo, I would say. So, you know, all the stuff that gets over wouldn't necessarily get over with all the crowd. Like, for instance, all this, like, Americana stuff with Rusev and all that. I guarantee you, like, at least a third of your audience was Canadian and didn't care.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the Canadians are already mad with the WWE Network. Now the UK, they got issues.
Yeah, they're getting screwed over, too.
This week.
Yeah, they're getting screwed over, too. And now, after at first being reported... They were going to get the same service as you guys, the over-the-top service with all the archives and all that. No, it sounded more and more like they're going to get our screwy version of the WWE Network, which I can tell you as a Canadian sucks. Like, it's not even the same product, and you're paying the same price. Like, it's ridiculous.
Well, $12.99.
Well, $11.99 Canadian, but basically you do the conversion and all that, it's kind of the same. But what I'm saying is it's not the same product. Like, what I get and what you get as a... Well, first and foremost, I'm not even able to get the product where I live, I'm not a Rogers customer, so I can't even get it. But if I was able to get it, the product I get is nothing like the product you get in Chicago. Because
Rogers is like TNN with ECW.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just bad. It's like they say it's an advantage having it as a channel on your dial, but I think without the archive stuff, I disagree. I think it's a waste of in some ways. I mean, it's still a value on the pay-per-views, but when you legitimately know someone out there in the world is getting a better deal than you, that kind of impacts your love of the product that you have when you know just across the border, people have a better product than you.
Well, I think a good way we could close it off here is that they did take a step in the right direction as far as the in-ring product is concerned, and we'll see what happens next week.
Yeah, Raw was better. I think that was universally people thought two things. They thought it was a long show, but I didn't hear a lot of complaints about the actual matches and the actual content of the show, other than the vignettes we saw for Xavier Woods. I'm not a big fan of that. That's not going to go over well. But I did like the Luke Harper one and the Eric Rowan one. I even kind of liked that, where he kind of did like a 2014 version of George Steele and hit on Renee Young, which, you know, that's great. I wonder how Dean Ambrose felt about that segment. And if you don't know why Josh is laughing about that, you should know, because Dean apparently dates the lovely Renee Young.
Friends with benefits.
Well, we don't know what they are.
Yeah, we don't know.
They go to hockey games together, they hang out a lot, but apparently, you know, something's going on between the two. That's all we know. We're done. We'll be back next week. Hopefully with some form of guest from Ring of Honor Wrestling as we gear up for our Road to Final Battle. Along with that, we will have Chris Walder back in his usual position. And who knows what else on the program next week. Thanks to Josh for filling in last minute for this week's show. And we talked about a heck of a lot of WWE. But we got in a little bit of Lucha Underground, little ROH, little TNA even, which is rare for this show. So hopefully you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week with a guest to be named later. Follow us at Condo on the Moon. And when we know, we'll let you know.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
More questions.
I'm sorry about that.
Goodbye.